Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Q4 and FY 2024 earnings conference call of Concord Biotech Limited. Kindly note that all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on belief, opinion, and expectation of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Now, I hand the conference over to Mr. Sagar Shroff from Strategic Growth Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Yusuf. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the Q4 and FY 2024 earnings conference call for Concord Biotech Limited. Today, we are joined by Mr. Sudhir Vaid, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Ankur Vaid, Joint Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Lalit Sethi, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Prakash Sajnani, Compliance Officer and ABP Accounts. The company has uploaded its financial results and investor presentation on the company's website and stock exchanges. I hope everybody had an opportunity to go through the same. We will begin the call with opening commentary by the management, followed by a question-and-answer session. I would now like to invite Mr. Sudhir Vaid, Chairman and Managing Director for Concord Biotech Limited, to give his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us on our Q4 and FY 2024 earnings conference call. This fiscal year, FY 2024, has been an eventful year for all of us at Concord. Notably, we achieved a significant milestone of getting listed on stock exchange. This achievement is a testament to our sustained commitment to growth and excellence. In line with the growth trajectory we have previously outlined, we are delighted to report a growth of 19% in our revenue for FY 2024. This remarkable growth is not only a reflection of our strategic planning and execution but also aligns perfectly with our long-term guidance. Our dedicated team, with focus on our objectives, has collectively contributed to this success. We look forward to continuing this momentum as we advance into the next fiscal year. Now, let me take you through the key developments that took place during the year. The U.S. FDA authorities conducted an inspection of our Limbasi facility in June 2023. I am pleased to announce that the inspection concluded successfully with zero 483 observations. We now have an EIR for this inspection. Consequently, our customers have begun the qualification process for the Limbasi facility, allowing us to serve them from this unit as well. Additionally, the Bavarian Regulatory Authority in Germany has successfully completed EU GMP inspection of our facility. These inspections ensure that our facilities meet the stringent standards required for global operations. We have also successfully completed inspection by Anvisa, Brazil, and the Food and Drug Authority of Saudi Arabia. Furthermore, our facilities have been inspected by authorities in emerging markets such as Kenya and Tanzania, as well as domestically by Gujarat FDCA and CDSCO. These inspections validate the high standards of our manufacturing process and open new opportunities in the emerging markets. With these inspections and approvals in place, we are poised to expand our footprint worldwide, enhancing our geographical presence, customer diversification, and gain more market share in existing markets through optimization of capacity utilization at our API and formulation facilities. Alongside, we have been continuously enhancing our R&D capabilities to expand our product portfolio. We are pleased to announce the addition of two new products in the fermentation API space, bringing our total product count to 30. We also have a robust pipeline of over 10 products to be introduced in the coming years across various therapeutic areas, further enriching our portfolio to meet customer needs comprehensively. In our formulation segment, we have added 21 new products, taking total count to 98. We have also expanded our reach to by more than 1,000 doctors in FY24, especially in the field of nephrology, oncology, and rheumatology across the country to penetrate deeper in the formulation space. Our wide product portfolio, diversified customer base, and capabilities and capacities to scale up our operations have provided us with a significant competitive advantage in the market. These strengths have enabled us to successfully expand our footprint into both regulated and emerging markets. In closing, I would like to thank our employees for their unwavering dedication and resilience, our customers for their loyalty, and our shareholders for their continued support. We are very confident about our future plans and look forward to share our progress with you in the quarters to come. Thank you. With this, I hand over the call to Mr. Ankur Vaid, Joint Managing Director and CEO of Concord Biotech Limited. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We are delighted to report that our revenue for quarter 4 FY24 stood at rupees 319 crores, reflecting a growth of 17%. Our revenue for the entire year grew by 19%, aligning with our long-term guidance. Additionally, our EBITDA grew at a faster pace by 26% and 28% respectively on a year-on-year basis. Our EBITDA margin for FY24 stood at 42.8% as compared to 40.5%, an increase of 230 bps. Our PAT margin for FY24 stood at 30.3% as compared to 28.1%, an increase of 220 bps. As previously mentioned, I recommend evaluating our financial results on an annual basis rather than quarterly. Revenue growth can be impacted on account of customers' procurement patterns, leading to lumpiness in sales in a particular quarter, causing fluctuations in sales. Additionally, changes in the sales mix within the API and formulation segments, as well as certain expenses relating to marketing, R&D, and overheads, may spike in a particular quarter, impacting the margins. But this is expected to stabilize on a full year basis. Therefore, for a fair assessment of our performance, one should focus on an annual trend rather than quarterly results. As mentioned, in FY24, we secured numerous regulatory and product approvals in both mature and emerging markets. Furthermore, we have filed DMFs and registered our products across various global markets. And this will give us more headroom to expand our customer base and geographical presence. Now, let me speak in brief about our operational and financial performance for quarter 4 and FY24. Our API revenue for quarter 4 FY24 was at 265.4 crores, reflecting a 14% year-on-year growth. For the full fiscal year FY24, API revenues stood at 828 crores, marking a 9% year-on-year growth. The growth was partially impacted on account of a couple of customers relocating their manufacturing bases, necessitating compliances with regulatory authorities and approval processes to procure materials from Concord in the new location, which has been completed in March of 24. Hence, we anticipate revenue normalization in FY25. While API revenues can show some quarterly volatility due to customer procurement patterns, we remain confident in our long-term growth trajectory. With the addition of new products, a strong pipeline of products, regulatory approvals, and expanding our customer base globally, we remain optimistic about our future performance. In the API segment, we have been enhancing our product portfolio and expanding our capabilities in oncology and antibiotics over the past few years. This diversification has reduced our reliance on immunosuppressant products compared to the last year. The share of oncology and antibiotic segment has been increasing as they are growing at a faster pace. In FY24, we acquired 95 new customers and introduced new products to existing customers. As a result, the contribution from our top 10 customers decreased from 44.3% in FY23 to 42% in FY24, further reducing our customer concentration risk. As these new customers mature, we will have opportunities to cross-sell more products, further driving our revenue growth. Speaking on our formulation segment, our formulations revenue grew by 37% in quarter 4 FY24 and 106% for the full year FY24 on a year-on-year basis. We have focused on strengthening our formulation business by enhancing our capabilities and expanding our product portfolio. Our domestic business, particularly in critical care, nephrology and rheumatology, has been on a strong growth trajectory. We have introduced new products and increased our presence in large and mid-sized corporate hospitals as well as government institutions. Over time, we have built a capable sales force and deepened our connections with the medical community. In FY24 alone, we established touchpoints with over 1,000 doctors in critical care, nephrology and rheumatology, among others. We continue to expand our reach among doctors and institutions moving forward. Commercial production at our new injectable plant is expected to commence in this fiscal. Once operational, this facility will allow us to provide a comprehensive range of formulation products, including oral solid dosage and injectables. This strategic initiative is expected to significantly bolster our market presence across diverse geographies, positioning us as the preferred vendor for our customers. The split between our API and formulation business was 81% and 19% respectively for FY24, aligning with our long-term guidance of 80-20. We are optimistic about the growth trajectory of both segments and remain committed to achieving our long-term CAGR guidance of revenue growth. We also anticipate that our EBITDA and PAT will grow at a faster rate than revenue, driven by operational efficiencies and increased utilization across our units. Lastly, as part of our long-term strategy, we have been actively exploring opportunities in the CDMO space to further drive our growth. We are in discussion with various innovators and major generic players, submitting RFQs and positioning Concord as a reliable partner. With our extensive capabilities, capacities and large product portfolio, we are well positioned to capitalize on this opportunity. We believe that securing the CDMO projects will enable us to achieve substantial volumes, accelerating revenue growth and expanding margins through operating leverage and efficiencies. Looking ahead, we are confident in our growth strategies, which focus on deeper market penetration, acquiring new customers, and introducing new products in niche categories. With large portfolio of fermentation-based APIs, extensive capacities and capabilities for scaling, new domain expertise, and a broad customer base, we are well positioned to sustain and accelerate our growth. With this, I hand over the call to Lalit Sethi, our Chief Financial Officer, for financial and operational performance. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, and thank you all for joining us today. It's my pleasure to provide an overview of our financial performance for quarter four and financial year 2024. In this financial year, we have achieved robust financial results demonstrating our ability to execute our strategy effectively and deliver value to our shareholders. Now let me take you through the financial and operational performance for this quarter and year ended March 2024. On the revenue front, our revenue from operations in this quarter stood at rupees 319 crores as compared to rupees 272 crores in the same period last year, representing growth of 17% in this quarter. Revenue from operations for the financial year 2024 crossed rupees 1000 crore mark and stood at rupees 1107 crores against rupees 853 crores in financial year 2023, representing growth of 19% as compared to the last year. Our revenue from API business grew by 14% in this quarter and 9% for the full financial year 2024. It stood at rupees 265 crores for this quarter and rupees 828 crores for the financial year 2024 against rupees 761 crores in the last year. Revenue from the formulation business in this quarter stood at rupees 53 crores as compared to rupees 39 crores in the same period last year, representing growth of 37%. And in the financial year 2024, it stood at rupees 189 crores, a growth of 106% on YOY basis. Revenue from the domestic business grew by 21% in this quarter and 24% for the full fiscal of financial year 2024. Our revenue from the international business grew by 14% in this quarter and by 15% for the full year 2024. Speaking on the EBITDA, our EBITDA for this quarter stood at rupees 132 crores as compared to the 127 crores in the same period last year. As mentioned earlier, it would be more judicious to look at us from our results on the annualized basis. EBITDA for the financial year 2024 stood at rupees 435 crores, representing growth of 26% on YOY basis, and the EBITDA margin for the quarter stood at 41.4% and for the financial year 2024, it stood at 42.8%, representing an increase of 230 bps. On profit after tax, our profit after tax for this quarter stood at rupees 95 crores as compared to the 91 crores in the same period last year, representing a growth of 4% over the last quarter. Profit after tax for the financial year 2024 stood at rupees 308 crores as compared to 240 crores in the last year, representing growth of 28% of the last financial year. PAT margins for this quarter stood at 29.8% and for the financial year 2024, it stood at 30.3%, representing growth of 220 bps over the last financial year. With this, I shall now leave the floor open for question and answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Alankar Garude from Kotak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Ankur, you mentioned a few reasons impacting API growth in the fourth quarter. Now, if you look at the 9% year-on-year API growth for the full year as well, it does not appear to be very different than the historical market growth trends. Now, this is despite addition of the Limbasi facility as well as a couple of launches which Sudhir mentioned. So, The question is, apart from the reasons mentioned specific to the fourth quarter, were there any other reasons which you would like to call out behind a slightly muted API growth in FY24?
No, so I think, the new Limbasi facility, we have been adding customers and they've been, adding the new Limbasi facility into their dossier. So I think that process is going on. As you would see that we have quite a diverse customer base. So definitely adding the new site does take time across several products. So this is going on. We do not see any challenges around that. But I think the only reason that I see has been what I pointed out, that a couple of our customers had shifted their base from one geography to the other. And because of which, we saw this impact. And also they were waiting for a regulatory inspection, which happened in March only. So we were able to supply them some quantity, but it was very less compared to what they were looking for, for the quarter. But again, as I said, that since the regulatory inspection went very well, that is behind us. So in this year, we expect that to normalize. So I do not see any challenges. As a matter of fact, with the addition of the new products coming in, we see and expect good ramp up in the API sale. And again, we have a very strong pipeline of products. And as I mentioned, that we expect a couple of molecules to get commercialized on a year-on-year basis. So definitely with a larger portfolio base and with larger penetration happening, we expect the revenue growth on the API front to be much better than the last year.
Fair enough, Ankur. The second question is on gross margins. We have seen a significant dip both year-on-year as well as QOQ. Now, there are quite a few variables here, but both on API formulation mix, then the domestic exports mix, maybe something on the product mix which you want to call out. So if you can break your response across some of these parameters, that would be really helpful.
So as I mentioned that, we should be looked from an annual basis rather than quarterly. And, our full year margins have increased actually by 230 bps. It stands at 42.8%. However, speaking specifically for the quarter, the revenue, as I mentioned, was impacted on account of the lumpiness in the API sales and also on the customer shifting their bases. We believe that the revenue has now stabilized. Also, margins got impacted on account of the sales mix between the API and the formulation segment. And on account of certain overhead expenses bunching up in a particular quarter. It will be prudent for us to be looked from an annual basis rather than quarter, because if you see even the formulation mix for the year stood at close to 80-20 only, and all the other financial matrix were in line with the guidance. So, a specific quarter could have different reasons, as I mentioned, and hence, we should look more from an annualized number only.
Fair enough, but sorry to harp on this, Ankur. If you look at, say, the third quarter, right, the formulations mix was around 28%, which came down to 17% in this quarter. So I understand the quarterly fluctuation bit, but if you look at the gross margins in the third quarter, they are significantly higher than the fourth quarter. So just trying to understand, are there quarters wherein formulation gross margins can be reasonably high compared to the general impression we have wherein API is significantly higher than formulations when it comes to gross margins?
No, so I think, the formulation also, different territories and markets would have slightly different margin profiling because again, you are applying for tender markets and they would have a differential pricing compared between region to region. Can have an impact, but since the contribution of the formulation is only close to 20%, I do not see that being a major impact. I think, sometimes due to the lumpiness, you're also holding inventory at your, so the inventory is there, which at times could impact the gross margins, the closing stock which is there. So, very difficult to kind of have one, to put it on one or two points. I think it is a cumulative effect. But that being said, we do not see any challenges either on the pricing front or any raw material or anything which has actually increased substantially in terms of the pricing. As a matter of fact, we've been able to bring down in certain cases the cost of the raw materials which we were currently procuring. So I do not see any specific challenges, neither on the procurement nor on the sales side. This is just probably a quarterly phenomena that one is looking at. And when you will look at the weightage cost, I think it kind of levels out.
Sure. Thank you, Ankur. And maybe one final question with your permission. If you look at slide 18 of your presentation, you've given data on new customer additions and product additions in existing customers over the last 5 years. So just trying to understand these numbers better, can you bifurcate the numbers across new customer additions and product additions in existing customers?
Unfortunately, Alankar, we do not provide that data.
But then, Ankur, what does that 95 in FY24 indicate? One is a product number and the other is a number on the number of customers. So, just not able to reconcile that.
If you see, Alankar, some of these customers are just starting the relationship, if you see. Because as you would see that we have added, new products also. And even in our existing products where the validation activities have got completed, certain markets start evaluating you as a reliable partner only once you have completed the validation and the DMF activities. So these customers, have been added. They may not have a meaningful quantum at this point of time, but definitely the potential of these 95 customers is quite large. And some of these customers are large customers, and they would have their own process to kind of qualify you, to kind of make you as a supplier. So those 95 customers are with respect to your existing products as well as the new products that we have launched over the year.
Understood. So basically you are saying the 47 customers in FY20 has increased to 95 as of FY24.
Correct. So that's additional 95 customers. It's not built over the 45.
Okay. Fair enough. That's all from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we move to the next question, a reminder to the participants to ask a question. You may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Vivek Agarwal from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking the question. Ankur, just one question on Limbasi facility. As you have indicated that you are adding new customers, etc. Right? So what is the current capacity utilization of this facility? And we also suggested what is current revenue contribution, right? So is it really contributing in terms of revenues, new numbers, etc.? Thank you.
Limbasi facility is working at around 35.12% in this financial year. It was 31.81% in the last financial year.
But how much it is contributing in terms of revenue, right? So if the Limbasi facility utilization has moved up, right, so then it should have driven, especially the API numbers, right? But that is also not reflecting.
So we don't give facility level revenue split. However, we are selling a product APIs from Limbasi to global markets because now that we have US FDA approval and Japanese AFM, we are having access to most of the global markets. But in addition to that, it is the Limbasi facility is also supporting to our Dholka facility also in terms of supplying some of the starting materials from Limbasi to Dholka. So that is where the capacity utilization currently stands. But as I mentioned, that we do not provide revenue details at facility level.
No problem at all. Thank you. That was the only question for my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participant, to ask a question, you may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Chintan Sheth from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for a good year. Just a couple of questions from the customer side that you mentioned. Couple of customers have shifted manufacturing base and which impacted the number. If you can quantify what kind of revenue we lost because of that, and is it pertaining to API division or it was I presume it is for the API division only, right?
Yes, that's correct. It is only for the API division.
And what is the impact? If you can quantify what kind of revenue loss we witnessed because of that.
So again, very difficult to quantify here because until and unless we did not get the approval, the purchase orders were not getting released. So I would not be able to have a number on this. But as I mentioned that this now that we have the approvals in place, we have started selling the product to that customer beginning from April. So and hence we do not see any impact of this going forward. This was basically awaiting the regulatory approval only, which has been done. And on the other side, for the other customer, they had taken the quantities for the validation exhibit batches, and they were awaiting the approval from the authorities to kind of qualify their site, the new facility, and the vendor as well. So that activity has also got completed. And because of that, we have again started selling the product to that customer in India for that specific product.
Okay. So if I can ask, alternatively, what kind of revenue these two customers put together had generated, or share of revenue in 4Q of 23? That can give us if it was like to like or it remained the same, what could have the revenue contribution revenue loss per se from that particular customer set?
So this was close to around probably around 6 to 7% or so.
Right. Okay. Got it. Thanks. And second was on in terms of the new molecules which we launched, not only this year, but say for last 3 years, the number of molecules which we have launched, what kind of revenue contribution those new molecules have been, what proportion of revenue came from those new molecules?
We're not providing details on product level, revenue, but what I can mention is that we are seeing good growth in the oncology and the anti-infective segment, and this is again mostly towards the new product launches that have happened, because of which the weightage on the immunosuppressants has come down compared to the last year. So as you would see that Concord was already manufacturing the entire portfolio of the immunosuppressants. And much of the new launches have happened in the anti-infectives, antifungal and oncology. So already commercial products as well as these new launches We are seeing good traction in both of these and they have been growing at a much faster pace because of which the weightage on immunosuppressants is coming down. But it would be difficult for me to kind of give you product level wise revenue on this.
Sure, Ankur. But if you can just give say 3 years back, we were largely immunosuppressants, right? Now, what is the share? If you can, we can, then compare that over this time frame, how that dependence on the immunosuppressants has reduced for us.
So compared to last year, the immunosuppressants has come down by around 4%, the weightage on immunosuppressants.
Okay, got it. And lastly, on the injectable facility, when are we expecting that to commission? We were earlier expecting in Q1, right, in FY25. So
So it was in the later half of Q1, but with the validation activities ongoing and awaiting the approvals from the government, from the regulators. Indian regulators, we are expecting it to be somewhere in early half of quarter three.
Okay, so revenue contribution we should expect, say, from second half of this year, right?
That's correct.
Okay, I'll jump back in queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Vinayak Mohta from Exandia. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Congrats on a great set of numbers. So the first question I had, I just wanted to understand our capability from a complexity point of view when it comes to the formulation side of the business as well as the injectable side. What different are we bringing, to the table for the customers? Relative to a lot of players who are there in the market, and how confident are you on the sustenance of the formulation revenues that we have done in the last year or so, and the continued growth going forward from a qualitative point of view to start with, for both formulation and injectables.
Sure. So I think talking about the differentiation that we bring, in the oral solid as well as in the injectables, I would say that we are the only company in India which are manufacturing these fermentation APIs and then forward integrating them to the finished formulations. All these niche APIs, be it in the nephrology or in the critical care, Concord is forward integrating to the finished product, and we have already seen great success of that in the domestic formulation business, wherein the doctor fraternity, the patients have put in a lot of confidence in the kind of high quality products that we are bringing to them. And these are again the products that we have launched in the US. We are bringing those same products to global markets including India. So again, setting up very high standards along with having full control on the fermentation API as well. So that's the differentiation that we bring even in the injectable space. And talking about the sustenance and the continued growth, we expect that going forward, we are seeing more and more approvals from the regulators in the emerging markets because the last few years we did see some impact on us because of COVID, wherein the regulators delayed the approval process. But now that has really picked up quite well, we are expecting faster approvals in some of the emerging markets, which would actually further help us grow much faster in the formulation business compared to the previous years. And of course, we've been adding more products in the formulation space as well, be it the injectables or the oral solid. So that would also kind of help us grow our formulation business with our existing customers as well.
Understood. Just a clarification. These are products which are already available in the market, and you are bringing it through a fermentation route. As in domestic availability, or these are more of products which are imported by the consumers, we are replacing that import part of these products. How would that be?
Correct. So you're right. So most of these APIs are currently being imported, and of course these are again very high value niche APIs. So when Concord would be supplying these products through their own internal manufactured APIs, definitely we would be having a lot of advantages to our customers to pass on, and that's something that would definitely be helping us to kind of grow our revenues in the injectable space as well.
Understood. A couple of quarters back, you did give a guidance on the revenue growth, going forward for the next 3 to 5 years. So just wanted to understand where are we with that, you had mentioned that you should continue on a growth trajectory. So are we confident on the 25% CAGR for the next 3 to 5 years to come?
Yes, as I mentioned that, we have a built-in the capacity. So the capacities are in place. We have a strong product portfolio, which is commercial. And we have a strong R&D pipeline also, which will be getting commercial over the next 3 to 5 years. So all these growth levers are there in place. And, we stand with our revenue guidance of 25% CAGR over the next 3 to 5 years. But again, one should see that this is going to be more of a gradual trajectory towards moving towards the 25% CAGR growth. As I mentioned that, there are different levers which will play out at different intervals, and hence one should look at from a gradual growth rate to achieve the 25% CAGR over the next 3 to 5 years.
Understood. Two last questions. So the first one was on the margins front. How do you see these margins evolving or sustaining as we go towards that 25% CAGR mark? Should we expect to see some operating leverage kicking in? And what would be the broad range that you would want, that you could give a guidance on? And secondly, with the existing capacities that you have on the Limbasi front and the injectables coming through, how do you see the capex for the next 3 to 5 years, and what kind of peak revenue potential do these facilities carry? If you could have some guidance on that part.
So, rightly said that we have much of the capex is behind us. Now we would have some bit of maintenance capex only, which will be to the tune of 25 crores or so. Now, as mentioned earlier also, that this year as well as the coming year is more about how we optimally utilize the capacities that we have put in place. So, much of the capex is behind us now. Talking about how the margins and the EBITDA are going to move in the coming years, I would say that the EBITDA is definitely going to be moving relatively faster than or higher than what our sales numbers are going to be because of the operational efficiency being kicked in. This year, the delta may be slightly lower, or maybe because while the Limbasi facility will contribute through the operational efficiency positively towards the EBITDA margin, the injectable facility will get commercialized in this year, and we may see some impact of that. But all in all, it would be a positive impact, but the delta may not be as much as you would have seen in the previous year. But subsequent years, as the injectable facility would again start picking up and ramping up, you would again see that ramp up in the EBITDA margins once the capacity utilization also kicks in the injectable facility. In terms of the peak revenue, one should look, that the revenue guidance of around 25% CAGR over the next 3 to 5 years does consider that we would reach to optimal utilization levels for our three facilities or four facilities over the next 5 years, which would be closer to the kind of peak levels that one would look at. And of course, at appropriate time, one could then build in additional capacities to kind of cater to the increased demands which would be there. And, you know, Limbasi facility is built over close to 170 acres, so we have enough land in case any incremental capex needs to be done to cater to the increased demand there.
Understood. Understood. Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, who wish to ask a question may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Monish Shah from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good evening. So I had a couple of questions. One was, as we see introduction of new therapies like oncology and anti-infective, you know, share of revenue going higher, are these gross margin dilutives compared to immunosuppressant?
No, not really, because again, these products which we have introduced or are becoming part of our portfolio have the same underlying principle of high complexity, less competition, you know, where we can bring value to our customers without, you know, diluting the margins that we have. So I think, you know, we do not see any margin dilutions happening with the introduction of these new products. And, you know, globally, you would see very few players on these molecules as well, the ones that we are currently developing.
Okay, and secondly, amongst your key products like tacrolimus and everolimus, there are, you know, different dosage forms that are going off patent next year or year after. So just wanted to understand how big are these opportunities for you, and can these products add materially to your API revenue and hence the guidance of 25% target?
Yeah, so I think all these are inbuilt into the guidance that we share, because you know, certain customers have procured materials from us for you know, for the launch of those molecules as well. So whenever those launch, whenever those products will become commercial, it would positively be impacting us as well. And you know, since Concord is one of the largest players on these molecules, one, as you would know, that we, you know, we would become an ideal partner or the preferred partner for customers who are already with us or who intend to launch these products in the global markets. So definitely this would, you know, be a positive to our growth momentum.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Hussein Baruchwala from Carnelian Capital. Please proceed.
Am I audible?
Yes, you are. Please go ahead.
Just wanted to understand, what was the reason for the fall in gross margins this quarter? Or is it because of the change in product mix, or is it because of some pricing pressure of some sort? Can you explain that? Because I think the gross margins, which were 80% in Q3, have come to 72% in Q4.
So, you know, as I mentioned, that there has been a challenge to us on the API pricing front. But as mentioned earlier, you know, this could be probably because of the mix between the formulation and the API, you know, which could have, which has impacted the margin profile for that specific quarter. But, you know, if you would look at, say, our quarter two number, that would look very, very different from our quarter four number, because, you know, the mix at that point of time was very different from the mix that you see in quarter four. And hence I say that, you know, one should look at us from the annual basis, because at times, you know, that mix could at times could impact the gross margin levels. But from a pricing front, we do not see any challenge
at the API level.
Got it. Got it. Okay. That's all the only one. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Chintan Sheth from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up. Sir, on the mix side, if you look at this year's mix in API and formulation, we are almost already at 80-20 right now, API and formulation. With injectables coming in and with the ramp-up of, you know, Dimbasi, how do you see this, say, you know, in 3 years, 5 years time frame, mix changing from current level to what? Because you are already building in 25% CAGR growth in terms of, you know, future growth expectation. How do you see?
Hello?
We have lost the connection from the current questioner. Meanwhile, we will move to the next question from the line of Alankar Garude from Kotak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Sir, can you provide some qualitative inputs on the market share trends in some of the key immunosuppressant products? Maybe if you don't want to comment on it on a molecule-wise basis, but just a broader color on the top few products and the market shares would be really helpful.
So, you know, of course, as immunosuppressants contributes, you know, significantly to the API mix, while the share has come down over the last year, it's still, you know, contributing quite significantly to the overall sales mix. And in that space, products like mycophenolate, Marcotil, mycophenolate sodium, cyclosporin, tacrolimus, and everolimus are the four key molecules that are there, and we are seeing good traction on all these molecules. You know, with the ENVISA approval coming in, you know, there are new geographies that are also opening up for us, and also with the Bavarian inspection happening, compared to the last year, this year we would see certain addition of the product into the European market as well. So, so definitely, you know, we see good potential, and still there is a lot of room for us to grow in these 4-5 molecules, while the rest of the 20-25 molecules are also growing, as I mentioned, at a much faster pace. But from a revenue contribution perspective, maybe, you know, they are having less weightage, but the growth rate on those molecules are much higher than what one would see. And that being said, these 4-5 products, you know, we were close to like around 20% last year, and they've slightly moved ahead on those products on a market share level, but still there is a lot of room for us to grow even in these 4-5 molecules.
Understood, sir. So the second question is on CDMO. Any sense on the scale as of FY24? And when you talk about executing one more contract, and I think in the previous call you had spoken about, being more aggressive. You mentioned that this time around as well. So, what are your thoughts as far as scaling up of this business is concerned over the next 3 to 5 years?
We are very, very optimistic and, you know, very excited on this CDMO opportunity, because as I mentioned in the previous discussions as well, that, you know, we have the regulatory approvals in place, we have the capacities in place, and we have the relationship with the customers. And we have been filling out several RFQs, we are reaching out to some of the innovators, large generic players as well. And exploring this opportunity in the CDMO space, because whatever is happening now in China, which has been largely a CDMO, most of the CDMO opportunities were always towards, earlier were towards Europe and then kind of shifted towards China. But now with everything happening in China, companies are looking at de-risking themselves and looking at other opportunities or other players to kind of cater to their needs. So it's a time thing. I think we are reaching out, we are looking and evaluating and Now this could happen probably in the next 6-9 months, or it could happen in a year, year and a half. But I think we are taking steps in the right direction. It is a matter of time when that would fructify. So, we're just kind of working towards that and hopeful that it would happen soon there.
Sure. And possible to call out the sales number for FY24 from CDMO?
As I said, that we have not built in CDMO into our guidances as well, because since there is no clarity on that, and it is an uncertain, there is a lot of uncertainty into when that would happen, we have not built those into our guidances, even when we talk about on a long-term guidance. So if this would happen, this would definitely be a positive impact on what we are foreseeing going forward.
So FY24 CDMO sales were minimal, maybe less than 30-40 crores. Would that be a fair assumption?
That's correct.
Okay. And one final question, Ankur, is you spoke about margin expansion going forward, maybe less so in FY25. If I look at FY26, assuming we see some decent initial traction in the injectables facility plus Limbasi utilization would be much higher than along with the formulations capacity. I think given the fact that API growth is likely to pick up faster compared to formulations, the amount of expansion likely in FY26 is going to be quite high. But then, I mean, you would already be at 44-45% or EBITDA margin. So, at those levels, you still think that there is scope for efficiencies and operating leverage to drive a further expansion from those levels?
So, actually come to look at it, the injectable space is actually, very interesting, because the kind of integration that we are going with, definitely, once we are commercial in the emerging markets, there would be a lot of opportunity there in the injectable space. However, timing is something that one cannot talk about, and it will be too early for me to kind of talk about the timing here, because again, different markets could have different timelines to kind of commercialize. But once commercial, I think we would be making a lot of fast inroads in terms of capturing the market share because of this whole integration approach. Coming to that, how much of margin expansion can happen from the API, beyond a certain point, the deltas will keep diminishing. It is not that it would be every year you would see 2-2.5-3% delta as capacity utilization starts kicking in. Beyond a certain number, the delta would be there, but it would be lower compared to what you would have seen when the capacity utilization was, say, at 10% or 15%. One has to factor that once you start looking at a 4-5 year period. But of course, in the initial periods like this year or the coming year, the delta would be higher. Of course, for this year, it would slightly get compensated by the injectable coming in. But, that's how I would look at how the margin expansions would happen from the API front.
Sure, that's helpful, Ankur. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, we will take this as the last question for the day. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
So, thank you everyone for joining on our Q4 FY24 earnings call. And we hope we've been able to address all your queries. For any further information, please get in touch with us or SGA, our investor relation advisors. Thank you once again and have a great evening. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Concord Biotech Limited, we conclude the conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.